I want to encourage you to have your Bible out this morning as we are going to revisit a series that we are doing. We've titled Doctrine That Makes Us Different. And the particular subject I want us to address this morning is one that really would have been good to have it close to the beginning of the study. It's on the list that I've been working from, but we're getting around to it today. I want us to tackle the question, can we understand the Bible alike? Some people look at the religious division that exists in the world and they conclude it's impossible to understand the Bible alike. And based on this conclusion, there are some people who reject the Bible outright. Or there are others who say that it's okay for people to have different interpretations of the Bible. Is it okay? Is that okay? Is it all right for one group to have one interpretation of the Bible, another group to have another interpretation of the Bible, and both groups be okay with God? Denominationalism says yes. They say that that's okay as long as we are agreeing on the core gospel, as long as we're agreeing on the important parts, then the rest, it's okay for us to agree to disagree. Is that true? Is that what the Bible teaches about itself? So let's dig into that for a few moments this morning. Number one, I want to begin by affirming the fact that we can understand the Bible. The Bible can be understood. It is not an ancient puzzle or some tangled mess of religious philosophy that only gifted or trained people can sort out and understand. The Bible is the revelation of the mind of God unto mankind, allowing us to know the things that have been freely revealed to us by God. The Bible claims that it can be understood. I'm going to look at a number of scriptures today. I'm going to have them up on the board because we're going to move through them rather quickly with our time frame this morning. We want to begin here. John 7, verse 17, Jesus says, "If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine." So that's where we start. If we want to know God's will so that we can do God's will, Jesus promises we can know. But we have to approach it with that desire, that we want to know it so that we can do it. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We can know the truth. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, as the Apostle Paul is writing about this great mystery that was made known to him by revelation. What is the mystery? The mystery is how God was going to save all nations of the earth in one body through Christ. How He was going to save both Jews and Gentiles who for centuries were separated from each other. Now they are saved in one body through Christ. This has been revealed unto Paul, and Paul has written about it. Notice what he says, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul says, when you read, you can understand. Now, Peter is going to say later on that some of the things that Paul has written are hard to understand. Yes, hard to understand does not mean impossible. It's difficult, it takes some effort, but it can be understood. Ephesians 5, verse 17, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We'll have more to say about this verse in just a moment. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So, just a sampling of verses shows us that we can understand the Bible. Not only can the Bible be understood, but God holds us responsible for understanding His Word. Get that point? Not only does the Bible say that it can be understood, the Bible lets us know that God holds us responsible for understanding His Word. Ephesians 5:17, we just looked at, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." This is not stated as a suggestion. This is an imperative. This is a command, which means that we can do it. God wouldn't require something of us that we could not do. It is imperative that we understand the Bible because that's what we're going to be judged by on Judgment Day. Jesus says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." How can our God be a just God, a righteous God, if He's going to judge us by a standard that He knows we cannot understand and comply with? God, the judge of all the earth, will always do what is right. And when He says we're going to be judged by the words of Christ, that means we can understand those words and we have to understand those words. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Remember where we started in John 7. If anyone wills to do His will, he can know, he can understand. Why do we need to understand? Because we have to do it. We have to if heaven is going to be our home. So the Bible can be understood. God holds us responsible for understanding the Bible. Let's take this one step further. I will insist that the Bible can be understood the same by everyone. Not only can we understand the Bible, you and I, but we can understand it alike. And we began with the idea from the outside world that it's impossible to understand the Bible alike because we've got all these different people. They're smart. They love the Lord. They're doing the best. And they have different interpretations. That means it can't be understood alike. It is entirely reasonable to expect that people can see the Bible alike. And the reason we say this is because our society operates on the basis of people being able to understand and agree upon different guidelines which govern our lives. Let's take traffic laws, for example. The state of Ohio is not going to give you a license until you have spent a good amount of time studying the traffic laws of the state of Ohio. That you know what side of the road you're supposed to be driving on. And you know what all these different signs mean. And you know what lights mean when you encounter them. Then after you've shown that you know these things, then here you can have the keys. And what that allows each and every one of us to do is that when we pull out of here after services are over and we meet oncoming traffic, we can have some sense of peace of mind knowing that they know the traffic laws. They know that they're to stay over in their lane and we're going to stay in our lane. And we pull up to a four-way stop. We know what's going to happen. We function as a society by taking for granted that we all understand these laws the same. That's how that works. How about the concept of time? If you make an appointment with your doctor, both of you understand when it is that you're supposed to be there. Now, your doctor is going to be about 45 minutes late, but we understand with appointments, we know 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. We know when that is. When it's time for you to go to work tomorrow morning, your boss knows when to expect you. He's going to expect you to be there because you know what time it is to clock in. And you know how long you're going to have to be there. You know when you get to clock out and go home. We function as a society by having a common understanding of how time works. How about money? Well, we're getting more and more to be a cashless society. Swiping those cards or using those apps, pay apps, can be very convenient. Sometimes gets us into trouble. But if you're old school and you like to pay cash for something, you know how much change you're going to be getting back. You know how that's going to work, and when it doesn't work out that way, you have a legitimate problem. And you can go and say, now here's how much I gave, here's how much I'm supposed to get back. So we understand how money works. We have a common understanding of that. We understand how math works. 2 + 2 = 4. It's always 4. On Friday night, we had some of the young people at our home for a Bible study. And I found it very interesting that of all the different things we looked at in that particular study, the one that had the most interest was the one that focused on math, which I thought was very interesting, very telling. But why is it that math would have that kind of appeal? Well, perhaps math has rules. 2 + 2 = 4. There's no debate there. There's no if there. There are hard and fast rules to math. Now, we function like that as a society. We understand these things alike. If we don't understand these things alike in school, you get a bad mark. You go back, you work on it till you get it right. It's not okay to agree to disagree. If we're able to understand things like this, why would one insist that it is not necessary or possible to understand the Bible alike? Especially when God expects us to see the Bible alike. You know, regarding this posture of denominationalism that you believe what you want to believe and we'll believe what we want to believe and we're going to see each other as brethren and we're both going to be okay. The Bible doesn't endorse that. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches just the opposite. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." The inspired apostle doesn't say it's okay to agree to disagree. He doesn't say, you know what, you Corinthians, that's your interpretation, and we're going to have our interpretation over here at Ephesus, and that's okay. No, that's not okay. He says you are to speak the same thing regarding doctrinal scriptural matters. You're to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment so that there's no division among you. So that tells me it's possible. It is possible and it's necessary for us to see the Bible alike, to understand the Bible alike. Now, someone sits and listens to this who is a member of the Lord's church, has been a member of the Lord's church for a long time, and says, "Preacher, this isn't even true in the Lord's church. We've got brethren today that don't see Scripture's the same. It don't have the same interpretation." There are going to be some who turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and interpret and understand from that a woman needs to have an artificial covering on her head to worship God acceptably. And there are going to be others who look at that and understand, no, that is a cultural thing, or that has to do with the length of the hair. And as long as the principle of submission is followed, that text is being obeyed. There are going to be those that have questions on how many times can a local church serve the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day? And we have disagreements about that. Can we have Bible classes? How many containers can we use for the Lord's Supper? Why are you talking about seeing things the same way, being of the same mind and the same judgment, when you know that that doesn't even happen within the Lord's church? Ephesians chapter 4 helps us with this matter. Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 11, the Apostle Paul says that the Lord has equipped the local church with everything that it needs. Philippians 4, verse 11, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." That is, those who know the Word and those who teach the Word. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Verse 13, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The goal, the ideal, is that we all speak the same thing, that we all have the same judgment, the same understanding concerning every passage of Scripture. Are we there yet? We're not there yet. But that's the goal. That's what we're working toward. We're not getting there by saying, it's okay to agree to disagree. And you have your interpretation and I'll have my interpretation. No, we get there by understanding I tremble at the Word of God and you tremble at the Word of God, and we're going to study and we're going to work, we're going to be challenged, and we're going to grow to that point of the unity of the faith. That's the goal. And we don't settle for anything less than that. We work and we strive toward that goal. Can we understand the Bible alike? Let me suggest to you, if we understand the Bible correctly, we are going to understand it alike. If we disagree, if we differ on its meaning, we can't both be right. Now, we might both be wrong, but there's no way that we can both be right. If we understand it differently, at least one of us is wrong. And in this day and age, people don't like to hear that they're wrong. You know what Jesus said when the Sadducees came to Him and posed Him with the question about the resurrection? Jesus said, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures." Matthew 22, verse 29. That's what happens when you have people that disagree. Jesus didn't say, "You know what? It's okay for you Sadducees to have your interpretation, and we'll have our interpretation, and we'll just get along." No, that was a serious problem. And Jesus said, "You are wrong. You don't know the Scriptures." So, can we understand the Word of God? Yes, it can be understood. Can we understand it alike? Yes, we can. We understand so many other things alike. We can understand God's Word alike. Must we understand it alike? Yes, we must understand it alike. For the few moments that are remaining, I want us to consider some things that we can do, some steps that we can take to make sure that we are properly understanding the Word of God, and thus we are able to understand it alike. Understanding the Bible alike isn't just yielding to one person and letting one person determine what everybody else has to believe and teach and practice. That's how they do things in a cult. The Lord's church is not a cult. It's called that sometimes. The answer that I usually give to the accusation that the Church of Christ is a cult is that no, it's not, because in a cult, people do what their leaders tell them to do. You're supposed to chuckle at that. But it's not a cult. It's not one person determining what everybody else is supposed to believe. It's all of us working together to come to that unity of the faith. How can we do that? What are some practical steps that we can take to make sure that we are understanding the Bible alike? Number one, we need to approach the Bible with the belief that it can be understood. We need to have faith that our God has not hidden His will from us, but that He's revealed it to us in Scripture in a way that we can understand. God wants us to know what His will is. We have to have faith that the Bible can be understood. Secondly, we need to approach the Bible with a dose of common sense. I know it's popular in some circles to suggest that there is a hidden code in the Bible. And if you read between the lines, then you can really see what the writers were saying there, that secret message that has been kept from everybody for centuries. No. No. The Bible is the revelation of God's will to us in a way that we can read and understand. People don't have to go to theological seminaries to learn how to unlock the meaning of the Bible. God created us. He knows how we think. He knows how we communicate. In the Bible, God has communicated His will to us in a way that we can understand. When you read your Bible, you need to expect it to simply mean what it says. approach the Bible with a dose of common sense. Here's something else. Maybe we need to get rid of preconceived ideas and doctrines and allow the Bible to speak for itself. Here's a big problem. A lot of times people are told what the Bible says before they go and read it themselves. And so as they're reading the Bible, they're trying to take the message of the Bible to fit their preconceived ideas of what the Bible says. And so Bible study is frustrating to them. It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't work. And so they either get frustrated or they reject the plain reading of the Bible in favor of their preconceived ideas. We need to get rid of that, and we need to simply go to the Bible and let God speak to us through His Word. It simply means what it says. We need to be honest in the way that we approach the Bible, the way that we handle it. The New American Standard Version renders 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God." We can mishandle the Word of God. We can mishandle it, and we can come up with all kinds of different ideas and try to find it based in the Bible. Now, we need to be honest in the way that we are approaching the Bible. One way we do this, we need to take everything that the Bible says on a subject before we make up our mind about what the Bible says on that subject. My whole life that I spent in denominationalism, I always heard John 3:16 referred to as the gospel in a nutshell. And the idea is that's all you need. John 3:16, that's all you need. Anybody who would pull out any one verse of the Bible, one chapter or one book of the Bible, say, this is all we need. Red lights need to be flaring. If that's all we needed, that's all we would have. The Bible is not written like an encyclopedia to where you go to one entry and there, everything God has to say about that subject is found right there on that page. No. We've got to read the Word of God. We've got to study through the Word of God. We've got to see everything the Bible says on a subject before we make up our mind on that subject. Here's something else. We need to keep the passage in its context. You can have the Bible teach anything by taking verses out of context. That's not being honest with God's Word. What is that book talking about? What's that chapter talking about? Who's doing the speaking? Who's it addressed to? We have to answer all those questions in order to keep a verse, to keep a passage in its context. If we're not understanding it in its context, we're not understanding it correctly. So let's keep it in its context. We need to recognize the different kinds of language that's used in the Bible. A lot of the Bible is written in narrative. We're familiar with that. It reads like a story, and it reads very easily to us. And then we stumble across the poetry sections. Some of us just aren't cut out for poetry. But God, in His wisdom, saw fit to reveal a good amount of His Word to us in prose, in poetry. And there's a reason for that. Then we encounter the figurative language, the symbolic language of the prophets. What do we do there? That doesn't read like Genesis or like the book of Acts. Well, we need to be familiar with that. That's going to require us to dig in and do some more study. A lot of that imagery is based on Old Testament things. That's going to take some time to lay that groundwork so we're ready to properly interpret that figurative language when we get to it. There's allegory, there's hyperbole, there's sarcasm found in the Scriptures. We need to be ready to recognize that and to read it appropriately. And there are difficult things in the Scriptures. There are. But there are things that are easy to understand as well. Never try to interpret or understand a difficult passage in a way that contradicts what you plainly understand the Bible to teach. Let those easy to understand passages give you that foundation. And then anything else you read and understand, make sure that it lines up with that foundation. If it doesn't, go back and look at it again. Always interpret difficult passages of Scripture in light of the easy passages of Scripture. Here's something else. Number five, take time to think about what you have read. Pray about it. You can read the Bible in chunks. You can read entire books in one setting if you would like. But sometimes understanding the Word requires us to slow down, to take a look at a passage of Scripture, to spend the rest of the day meditating on that passage of Scripture, praying about that passage of Scripture. So take some time and think about what you have read in God's Word. And then the last thing I would say, we have to develop a love for the truth. There were those in Paul's day that gave up the truth for a lie, Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, because they did not love the truth. If we develop a love for the truth, then we are going to take the time and the effort necessary to search and study God's Word. If we love the truth, we're going to be honest with the truth. We're not going to add to it. We're not going to take away from it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. We're going to accept what it has to say. And if we go all the way back to where we started, we're going to obey what we read and understand to be the truth of God's Word. So, what conclusion do we come to? The Bible can be understood. Not only can we understand the Bible, we must understand the Bible. And not only must we understand the Bible, we must understand it alike. We must understand it alike. And we continue to put forth that effort to study and to grow so that we are of the unity of the faith as a local church. And as we're talking with those outside the body of Christ, we want to study with them and we want them to learn and to grow, to come to the proper understanding of the Word of God. Let's agree to disagree. That is not the Bible's basis for unity. Let's strive to come to the unity of the faith. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your Word. We're thankful that in it you have revealed your heart, your mind, and your will in the proportion that we need, in a way that we can understand and apply to our lives. We pray that you would help each of us individually to understand your Word and to understand it alike and to stand shoulder to shoulder squarely in your Word as we maintain our unity and as we go forward in the work that we have to do here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.